The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord. Sometimes lose track of time, so I'm putting my watch here. There's a story I heard once that I relate to. There was a little girl, and her father would go to Mass every Sunday, and the priest would always take his watch off and put it on the pulpit, on the ambo. And one day, the little girl said to her dad, knowing that everything in Mass is a symbol of something, and she said, "What does it mean when the priest puts his watch on the pulpit?" And the father said, or the dad said, "Nothing. Doesn't mean anything." So I'm a little long-winded, but so is Father Nathan too, so I guess we're kind of in good company. Our Gospels today speak to us about rest. And I think for us to understand rest, we need to understand a little bit of a theological principle in order to understand what it means for a Christian to rest, because it's not necessarily the same as anyone else. And this principle that I really like, it goes like this. The first in the order of intention is the last in the order of execution. Or another way of putting it is, in order to get to a goal, you have to know where you're going. You think of a painter, if you're going to paint a painting, it's helpful to know what you want to paint before you start. My grandpa would always say that an untitled painting, even the painter didn't even know what it's supposed to be. And another example could be, there's a school and a parish that's not in West Bend, and it's a beautiful school, and they were setting the concrete, and they were excited to open up the new school, and so they didn't let stuff settle as long as they should have. And so now the doors don't close well. And so they sort of maybe not intentionally, but lost sight of that goal of getting, you know, the doors to shut well when they were pouring the foundation. And why do I say all this? Because rest is our eternal goal. It's the goal of each and every one of our lives. I might ask you just to think for a second, who here this week thought about eternity? Who among you thought about the end of your life? And I don't mean to ask that in a sad way or a sorrowful way. You know, visiting people throughout the week and bringing communion and anointing, there's a lot of people in our community who think about the end of their lives. But it would be good for each and every one of us to think about it, you know, before we get there. Because in doing so, we actually can figure out how to get there. You know, when we think about it, just like a painter, right? Thinking, what do I want to paint? And then they can start. And so we think about rest. And then we can start along the journey of faith. And our Gospels speak about the apostles and Jesus trying to rest. And so what happens before our Gospel? Well, in the beginning of chapter 6, we heard last weekend, they were sent out two by two to preach and to heal and to cast out demons. And they did that, some probably to greater effect and some to lesser. And then what happens just before our reading that we don't hear about was probably many of their friend and mentor, even John the Baptist, ran afoul of Herod and literally lost his head. And so what did the disciples do? They went and collected his body and buried it. And now here they come to Jesus, and they reported all they had done and taught. And I imagine them coming up to Jesus and just being like, "Is this what it's supposed to be like? Like, I'm exhausted. We're traveling all over. people are dying, people are persecuting us. What are we supposed to do? And just sort of, you know, I mean, maybe it's like a lot of folks here who go from thing to thing. Maybe some of you are sick, maybe some of you have buried someone recently, and drawn in all the million different directions we're drawn to in our lives. And we just go like, And it seems like perhaps even like our dream of heaven might be just like collapsing at the end of our lives, you know, with how tired we can get. But the key with Christian rest is not simply just like an eternal collapse. And it's not even the type of rest that we often do, which is sort of like a distraction. You know, I mean, you think of us young folks and with cell phones and all that stuff and how we just distract ourselves instead of sitting in silence. But it's not just for young people. I know plenty of retired folks that can get, you know, spend 3-4 hours a day on Facebook and don't even know why. It sort of sucks away the time, sort of a mindlessness. But heaven is not some eternal mindlessness. It's not just a distraction. Speaking of distraction, I was thinking of Christmas when I was in sixth grade in 1996 and when the Nintendo 64 came out. So some of you might know, it's like a video game thing, and for those of you who are too young too, it's a video game system. And it's before you could ship stuff online, and so you had to show up to the store and get it, and there would be a limited amount of things. And so my brother and my dad and I got to Target at 4 in the morning, and we got in line with, you know, however many hundred people to get the 10 Nintendo 64s that are available, because this is how we're going to be able to rest, you know, and relax. And so they open the doors at 4:30, and everyone just bolts through the store running, and in my head we were screaming, but maybe we weren't, but, you know, just yelling and running as fast as we can. And I didn't get to the video game counter in time, but my brother did. And we got a Nintendo 64. And then I went on to play, like, hours and hours and hours of video games. And it's not that they're bad or wrong, but it's this idea of rest as just sort of distraction or wasting time. It's not the type of rest that God calls us to. And so what happens? Jesus looks at all these people who maybe like us are running around searching for the next thing, and he doesn't tell them, well, you need to, you know, get your act together, you need to maybe work a little harder and life will be better, or maybe you need to get a calendar, you know, that'll help you with rest, or, you know, get a cell phone app, you know, and that'll help you get your life together. No, he calls them to a deserted place. Because in a deserted place, there's silence, where you kind of have to hear yourself. And that can be scary if you never do it, if you never listen to your own thoughts. And Jesus does this. And by the time they even get to that place of silence, everyone's beat him there. And so they can't take that silence. And I think that that's why his heart is sad. It says his heart was moved with pity for them. I can just picture him being sorrowful for all these people who don't know this type of rest. So they were sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And what did he teach them? Well, this gospel sets us up for the next 4 or 5 weeks. We're going to hear only from the Gospel of John chapter 6. It's called the Bread of Life Discourse. So what Jesus did is he takes them out into a green hill, he has them sit in the green grass. That's what the Gospel of Mark says. It's kind of weird. It's like, why green grass? You know, I mean, you think all these details are important, and what's the point of the green grass? Is just trying to say, you know, spring or something. Well, we hear about green grass in our psalm. This famous psalm, you know, the psalm of the Lord is my shepherd, and there's nothing I shall want. You hear it at funerals and stuff like that. The Lord leads us to green grass, and the psalm says to verdant pastures. If you speak Spanish, verde means green. And we're the sheep. He leads us to green grass. And what do we do on the green grass as the sheep? It's we eat. But we don't eat mere bread. And the point of actually all these miracles where he makes bread is to say that I'm more than just bread. That's why he does all of that. And so we feed, and that's our rest. And what do we feed on? Well, John chapter 6 goes to pains to say that we feed on his very body, his very blood. And that's a rest the world cannot give us. I think the image par excellence of this rest is also in the Gospel of John. where John the Beloved rests his head on Jesus' chest. And it's kind of weird because we don't do that at dinner, especially if you're an adult. You know, it's like, sit up and eat your food, please. But there's something beautiful about that. That's why John's the Beloved, because he understood. He understood what it means to rest in the Lord. Our psalm speaks about this too. It says that God prepares a table for us in the face of our enemies. That's kind of also a weird statement, right? And you have to picture this idea, like you're in a battle and people are coming after you, and way back when there may be, you know, battle lines, and you can see the enemy kind of across the way, across a valley in front of you, and they're coming towards you slowly. And the Lord just sets up a table, like a dinner table, in the middle of a battlefield. Just picture how strange that is. You know, it's the table and the cloth prepares the table. You know, the white cloth in the middle of a battle, a bloody battle. And, you know, with the cups and the chalices and the bowls and all the stuff that you would need for a Jewish feast. And that's what the Lord does for us in the Eucharist in the midst of the battlefield of our lives, which are sometimes joyful and oftentimes very sorrowful, but it's a struggle. And the Lord doesn't just say, well, why don't you just join one more club, you know, or sign up for one more thing, you know, or be busier, or just work a little harder. It's kind of the opposite. He says, stop, sit, and eat. And actually, I think that's one of the reasons why Mass is actually supposed to be a little boring. You know, you can quote me on that if you want. I think it's good that it's different than just always trying to entertain us and distract us and to get us to not even be able to think. And we have these moments in the Mass, you know, and moments as we're preparing the altar perhaps, or after communion, where there's just silence. And I just challenge you, don't waste it. Because it's a time where the Lord is feeding you individually in your soul, and you raise your heart and your mind to Him, and you let Him enter into you and you into Him, and you rest. So take advantage of that. And just one more little word, just thinking of our reading from the book of Jeremiah, which also talks about being pastors leading the sheep to pasture, right, to feed. So it connects with all of this. It's like a web of connections here. But they also, it's kind of a warning for pastors, which makes me like a little afraid and shaking my shoes a little bit. But maybe a piece of advice to you who, you know, priests kind of come and go, and which priest are you going to get this week and next week, and maybe go to another parish, and who's going to be, and maybe some of you have stopped by different churches and things like that. And if you ever meet a priest or encounter people who are preaching the gospel, and they set anything else other than the Eucharist at the center of our faith, like, close your ears. You know, I don't say run away, because maybe you can't, maybe that's your church and you have to be there. But anything else is second rate. Anything else is just one more distraction in the midst of distractions. I mean, there's a lot of good things, don't get me wrong. But the Eucharist, where we receive the Lord's body, is the true center of the rest that God wishes to give us. And it's actually, we say, it's that foretaste of heaven. Talked about in the beginning of my homily that when we know what we're starting with, we know we're going to go. And so today we remember and we remind ourselves that the very beginning, Genesis, right, on the seventh day, God rested. That's where we're going. And so today, remind yourself of that. When you come to receive the Eucharist, I encourage you just to rest, you know, afterwards. You know, don't, you know, you look at everyone's shoes, or, oh, they're pretty, they're ugly, or whatever, you know. You kind of close your eyes and rest. And the Lord, who leads us and who feeds us, will make His heart known to us. And He'll lead us to eternal life.